Good morning. Glad everybody's here today. I have yet another child that decided she didn't want to come to church, and so running a fever this morning was her best way to get out of it. So, Lisa's home with Rhea. I want to continue what we've been talking about with the idea of Christian standard. A standard, in one sense, means a flag or a symbol that you rally behind, like a battle standard going out to war. But, of course, standard in another sense is having a expectation to meet, having a certain level that you are expected to adhere to. And whenever it comes to Christian standards, those become one and the same. Our standards that Christ put in place for us to follow, to adhere to, also are our rallying point, also are our inspiration, also is the banner under which we operate, and the flag to which we give our allegiance. And of course, it's not a flag or a banner. The standard of Christianity is the cross. It is the representation of standard of life to be lived up to, a life of sacrifice, just like Jesus saying, take up your cross and follow me. It is also the symbol which inspires us and leads us forward. So last week, we talked about standard, the standard of the heart. That more than anything else, God is concerned with our inner being, with our inner life, our inner heart. And that heart is the standard of giving it all to God. And if we're not willing to do that, if we hold back, if we are not wanting even, desiring to give our entire heart, then we need to find another standard to march behind. Because the cross of Christ demands our entire heart, our full loyalty, everything. And so today, standard number two, we'll have one more next week, but standard number two is the standard of a life, a righteous life, a life lived out following the standards, living by the standards in Christianity that are set out for us in the New Testament. And so to impress upon you how important these are, how much emphasis they get in Scripture, I want to read through some Scriptures. We'll read through the one that was just read through. And all of these are lists of standards to operate by, and what I'm reading here are the list of the standards to stay away from. That a Christian living by Christian standards does not associate or do things that are in these lists. That these are the list of what a Christian is supposed to abstain from and avoid. So 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Read it again. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Do you see the standards there? Do not be deceived. These things don't belong. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. You have to have a certain standard in order for your life to be acceptable before God. And here are the things you stay away from. These are the lifestyles that you reject and that you don't pursue. Let's keep going. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, factions, dissensions, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things, again, will not inherit the kingdom of God. A Christian standard of life is set above these things, set apart from these things, in contrast to these things. And we can keep going. Ephesians 5. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you. You have too high of a standard for that, those sorts of things, as is proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Those who adhere to these lower standards don't belong following the standard of the cross. And we're not done. Colossians 3:5-10. Therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. You used to abide by them, but it's no longer your standard. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. And we'll keep going. Getting the idea yet? For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lusts, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you, but they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Again, these used to be the standards of the world which you fully operated by, but no longer. Now you operate by the standards of the cross and of God's kingdom. Let's keep going. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, those that who practice such things are worthy of death. They do not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. And then later on in Romans, the night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. Guess what? Got another one. This is the last one. A famous verse. I used to use this and sing the song, talking about liars specifically, but it mentioned several other things. And again, all of these things and all of these lists that are made by several New Testament authors, the point is this no longer belongs to the standard of life you've been called. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Christianity has standards, has a standard of life to live by. And there are many positive standards. We talked about some of those last week. And you can continue to dig into, usually these lists of negative attributes are very nearby the list of positive attributes. Just like in Galatians chapter 5, you have the works of the flesh contrasted with the fruit of the Spirit. And so many times that's how they're aligned, that these are what you stay away from, this is what you pursue. And what is pursued are the characteristics of God. Mercy, kindness, love, gentleness, compassion, justice. But these things are definitely do not fit a Christian life living by Christian standards. And it's the primary standard of the heart that counts most. Don't forget what we talked about last week. As we go through these smaller, you might say, areas of life to be lived, none of them compare with the condition of the heart. The condition of the heart is first and foremost. But if we have no intention of living a changed life, of staying away from things that God obviously says are not fitting, then that says something about our heart. If we're unwilling to try to overcome the flesh and the evil desires which can wreak such havoc in our lives. Here's an example. I don't know where this house was or who it is, but pretty patriotic. A Statue of Liberty there on that side, and the flag just covering the whole side of the house. And now you would think, wow, that person loves America, right? Well, what if I told you that the person living in that house was selling government secrets to our enemies in foreign countries? I don't know if they are or not. I would say probably not, just by looking at their house. But you can see it would not fit. Why would they wave the flag of patriotism and yet turn their back on their country? Why would we as Christians see the life of Christ and see the godliness and honor of God, talking about that on Sunday morning Bible class, why would we see those things, behold those things, and say, yes, those are good, and then live our life completely irrespective of them? Live our life without any thought as to what we need to be putting away, leaving behind, as we strive for the godly principles set out in front of us. And let's make it simpler. Let's just not say, okay, selling government secrets, that's, you know, something big that's not quite so big. Here's this guy, American flag, Statue of Liberty. What if for the past 20 years, every year he has cheated on his taxes? Again, it just wouldn't fit. There would be a disconnect there. He loves America. Well, not enough to be honest with it. Not enough to try to help it. Not enough to do his part. He may have it rationalized, may feel fully justified, but being a true patriot, having an allegiance, we should strive to have that all the time, not just when it's convenient for us. Even if it means we take our lumps. Christianity, rallying behind the standard of Christianity, isn't just, okay, well, I like this, 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 and this. We could go back through and you could check off the principles of, oh yeah, that's bad. Murder, yep, check that off the list. I'm not a murderer. Idolater, swindler, nope, not me. But when it gets down to outburst of anger, malice, hatred, impurity, if we are casting our allegiance to the standard of the cross, we live by its standards, not ours. There are many who would use Christianity to oppose homosexual marriage, to get on their soapbox and bandwagon and whip out the scriptures, which are there. New Testament, Old Testament alike, condemning its practice, recognizing it as a sin. But I know of many who would stand up and shout and scream at the top of their lungs against homosexual marriage, at the same time disregarding their own marriage. Disregarding the call to have a sanctified and pure marriage bed with a spouse they are supposed to be committed to for the rest of their life. That's taking a standard and picking and choosing what appeals to you, picking and choosing what how it works for your own benefit, but overlooking the true standard we're called to live up to. Sometimes we think those whose voice stands in opposition to unchristian things You think automatically, well, that's a good Christian attitude. If they're standing up and they are opposed to unchristian things, they're in the right. But the question is, are they opposed to unchristian things in their own lives? And are we? Are we living up to the standard? Not just trying to impose it on other people. Are we living by the spirit that's behind it? Quite a few years ago now, a man by the name of Ted Haggard was in the media. He was the president of the Council of Evangelical Churches in America. A very respectable position. Famous speaker, guest lecturer. He had an impact. He, you know, sat and talked with dignitaries of state and politicians, you know, and leading, you know, the Christian right in so many areas. He preached against all kinds of things that good Christians are supposed to preach against, things in those lists. But when it came down to him, he was doing some of those things in those lists, engaging in behaviors completely unfit for a man of God. He was holding up the flag of this standard, but not living by it. Not recognizing what God had called him to. A heart that is completed by character and life. We affirm the heart's the most important, but our deeds have to follow it through. If not, the heart's empty. Or as James had put it, faith is dead. Faith without works is dead. A heart without a life following behind it is hollow. Regardless of what we might want to think, regardless of what we might want to say about our heart, it's easy to say, oh, I've got a good heart. Well, prove it. Are you pursuing the godly things and leaving behind the things in all these lists that the New Testament writers again and again and again implore their audiences have nothing to do with this? This is contrary to the standards of Christianity. But they weren't talking about just occasional mistakes or maybe a temporary relapse into a bad behavior. They're to be avoided. But the things mentioned in those lists are lifestyles. You know, whenever it says they will not inherit the kingdom of God or the wrath of God is reserved for such as those, that's strong, strong language. And that's not someone who just slipped up. That's not someone who made a mistake. That's someone who is living a life of double standards, trying to adhere to Christianity, but not wanting, not even desiring to follow through with a righteous life. Someone living in a perpetual lifestyle with no effort to change. Audie Murphy, famous war hero, a war hero of the likes who really haven't had since him, as far as receiving the acclaim and the respect of a whole nation during and after World War II. If it came out that Audie Murphy, get back to taxes, 1 year slipped up, made a mistake, wasn't careful enough, didn't pay all the taxes that he owed the government. If that came out, it might make the news. Might be a little spot on the headlines that pop up on the internet. But that's very different from, again, someone, let's say Audie Murphy, purposefully cheated on his taxes every single day, every single year of his life. That would be a huge scandal if that came out. Because he was symbolized as the true American patriot. Well, if there was no real life behind it, it'd be disappointing. It just wouldn't fit. It wouldn't be the Audie Murphy or the other great war heroes that we can think of and look back on and look at with pride and admiration. If their life did not fit the symbol of being an American patriot, it would be heartbreaking. And so it is when a Christian life doesn't fit the Christian standard set in place by Christ, by His apostles, and by the very image of the cross. Because it's not as if the heart and life are separate. If you live a life that the lifestyle includes the sins that the New Testament writers were talking about, that shows the heart. I want to go back through those lists. I'm not going to read them again. But I want to look at some themes. Some recurring themes in those lists. And the first one's honesty. In those lists, he talks about those who are thieves, those who are greedy, covetous, wicked, deceitful, untrustworthy, cowardly, liars, and swindlers. All of those are said in those negative lists that have a negative end. Not inherit the kingdom of God, have to face the wrath of God, not appropriate for those living by the standard of the cross. And why that comes up again and again and again is because God is honest. And He expects those under His standard to be honest. God is honest. He made the standard. If we are going to carry that standard, it's only appropriate, only right, that we would show honesty as well. Even when it was inconvenient, we would show honesty and live by a standard of honesty. Another recurring theme is purity and self-control. The things that are denounced are carousing, drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, fornicators, sensuality, a depraved mind, lusts, parties, and some translations would describe those as debauchery or orgies even, immorality, impurity, homosexuality. Again, these things, all of them, not just one that we might be able to agree with, but all of them don't fit the Christian life. We are the temple that God comes into. 1 Corinthians makes a big point about to sin sexually, to sin against your own, is sinning against your own body. And what's so troubling about that, what is so wrong about that, is the fact that the Holy Spirit is within your body. We are the temple that God comes in to live in. And if we have no intent of living like a temple, don't bother inviting Him. If we have no intent of following through with a righteous life, then we have no interest in the kingdom of heaven, much less a hope of inheriting it. Mutual respect and desire for peace. Another theme that comes up again and again, with words like strife, jealousy, anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, silly talk, coarse jesting, wrath, malice, slander, unloving, unmerciful. That's how we treat each other. It's as inappropriate as the parable that Jesus gave about a man who had millions of dollars forgiven him. He was in debt deeper than he could ever hope to get out. He must have gone to college. There was just no end in sight. No normal person earning even a pretty good salary could have hoped to pay off that debt. So he went before the king, the only person in those times who would have that money to loan in the first place. And the king said, "Don't worry about it. It's forgiven. Your debt is gone." But what does he do? He goes out and he finds someone who owes him less than a dollar, just even a few cents. He grabs them, he shakes them, he screams at them, yells at them, even has them thrown in prison, saying, "You're going to sit there and rot until I'm paid back." And hearing Jesus tell that story, it's offensive. How would someone do that? Well, we do it all the time whenever we cause strife, whenever we have jealous attitudes, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions between us. Think of how much God has forgiven you, what He has overlooked, what He doesn't hold against us. And for us to hold things against each other, that's not the standard we live by. The cross is our symbol of forgiveness. If we're going to hold it up as our standard, we have to be willing to have forgiveness and a peaceful spirit within us as well. And then last, another idea that came up again and again is idolatry. And sometimes it was just blatant idolatry. It just stood on its own. The kind of idolatry of going to a temple of Greek or a Roman god and bowing down and worshiping some object. But other times, it was put in more of a figurative sense. It says greed, which is idolatry. And other things which can be connected to or show an idolatrous spirit. Because putting anything in front of God is idolatry. To crave, to want, to desire anything but God and His blessing is idolatry. To be a patriot behind the flag of the United States and yet to say, I want the things that are in other countries. I want the things that are available elsewhere. That's a mixed allegiance. And while someone has every right to want those things, don't try to claim to be a true patriot. Or you desire to actually live by another country's standards. Well, don't claim to be Christian while desiring something else than what God supplies and the character that He calls us to. We mentioned last week, if the heart's not in the right place, neither are you. And that goes with life as well, with our lifestyle. I want to emphasize that. Not just making mistakes, but our lifestyle. If our lifestyle is not in the right place, if we're content to have hatred and bitterness within us, if we are perfectly at home being dishonest, having impurity and lack of self-control, if we're comfortable there and we're not even trying to operate by the Christian standard of a Christian lifestyle, why bother? It doesn't fit. But as I close up, I realize I've been a little bit negative. I've used negative scriptures and probably made some negative points. But that's okay sometimes. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What Seth read for us. That very first list. Because look at how the list ends. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Again, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. But then verse 11. Such were some of you. You used to be that way. But you were washed. You were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. And practically every other list that we went through ends on a similar note. A condemnation of what doesn't belong, but a encouragement to the readers to say, you're not stuck there. Let's say your lifestyle includes these ideas which are obviously contrary to the Christian life. What do you do about it? Well, you have two choices. Put down the standard. Go to a different country. Go to a different kingdom, let's put it like that. You can give up. Say, well, I'm not a Christian, not living by Christian standards. I'm done. Or you can do what was intended from the get-go, to turn, to change, to get rid of what doesn't belong, to put it to death, to take off the old self and put on the new self, to carry that standard high, to be proud of it, to live by it, and to follow it. And again, there is no doubt as to what that standard is. It is the cross of Christ. We get to choose whether we live by this standard or not. And if we choose that we want to, then Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God Himself empowers us to overcome those things which don't belong and to live by that higher standard, to live by that higher calling. And if you want to live by that life, don't misunderstand. It's not, okay, you have to have this right life and then you can come to God. Or even the only reason to come to God is because you want to live a right life that looks fine in the eyes of everyone else. That's not the case at all. It's rather, I'm going to follow the cross of Christ regardless of what it means. When it means I have things I need to get rid of, I'll get rid of them. When it means I have areas of growth and things I need to pursue, I'll pursue them. Because the love and forgiveness represented in it are the only things worth living for. And if you want to live by this standard, if you want the cross of Christ to be your banner which you hold high and live by, then the invitation's open to come and make it your standard, to be immersed, to die to self, and to rise to live a new life for Christ. And if you have any need, we can help you with it all. Prayers, encouragement, help, support. Sometimes it's hard to stay pure and clean and avoid all those pitfalls that are described. We have each other. So whatever it is, whatever you might need, won't you come as we stand and sing?